The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayakel. In Vayakel, Perek Lamed Hei Posuk Chof Zayin. The Torah is telling us what everyone did and what everyone brought for the Melechus HaMishkan, for the building of the sanctuary. And it states the Nesim were the prince of each tribe. They brought the Avnei HaShoham, that was some precious stones, onyx stones, Avnei HaMiluim, and other precious stones, la'efet velacheshen, which was for the gown, the outer robe of the Kohen Godel, and for the breastplate. Rashi brings from the Medrash, Omer Ebnosen, Maro Nesim Lisnadi b'chanukas abizbeach b'tchilo, of Melechus HaMishkon la'isnadvu b'tchilo, that we see that here, the Nesim brought at the very end, after everyone brought what they were going to bring, then the Nesim brought their gifts. In Parshas Noso, which is later in Bamidbor, and this is in Bamidbor Zayin, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, where the Hakomas HaMishkon takes place, the erecting of the sanctuary, which was at a later date. It states, Vayhi b'yom kalos Moshe lohokim es HaMishkon, that on the day that Moshe completed erecting the Mishkon, Vayimshach esoy ve'ekadish esoy ves kol kelo ves abizbech ves kol kelo v'yimshachem ve'ekadish esom. And then he anointed all of the vessels and the Mizbeach, the altar. He anointed and sanctified everything in the sanctuary. Vayakrivu Nesiyei Yisrael Roshei Beis Avosam Heim Nesiyei Amatos Heim Aimdim Al Hapkudim. So the Nesiyei Yisrael, the Nesim, the princes of each tribe, and they are the Roshei Beis Avosam, the heads of all of the families. They brought their sacrifices and their gifts before Hashem. So when it came to the erection of the sanctuary, we see that they brought first. Here by the Melechus HaMishkon, when the Mishkon was being built, was yet to be made, we see they brought last. So the question is asked, Maro Nesim Lisnadev Bachanukas Amizbeach Bitchilo, Vemelechas Amishkon Laisnadvu Bitchilo? Kach Omru Nesim. Because this is what they said. When the Almighty said that everyone should bring their gifts and their contributions in order that the Mishkon can be made, so the Nesim said, Isnadvu Tzibur Mashim Isnadvin, Umashim Echasrin Ono Mashlimin. Let the tzibur, let the people bring whatever they are willing to bring. And whatever there is lacking, then we will complete it. Kiven shishlimu tzibur es hakol, but once the nation brought what they were going to bring and it was sufficient, as it states, v'amalocha ha'isa dayom, that all of the works were satisfied, were enough and even more, omru nesim ma'aleno lasis. So now the Nesim said, what else can we bring? There's nothing else that's needed. Fichach, therefore, heviu es avne hashayim. Therefore, they brought the precious stones, which were the only things left to bring. Lekach isnadvu b'chanukas ha-mizbeach t'chilo. Therefore, when it came to the erection of the Mishkon and the sanctification of the altar, there they didn't want that to happen again, and therefore they brought first. Now the Rashi brings from the Medrash, Ulefish nis'atzlu mitchilo, nis'atzlu, that's the word otzel, atzlus, that means to be sluggish, to be lazy. Since in the first place they were lazy, nexra eis mishom ba'anesi om ksiv. Since in the first place they were slow, they were sluggish, they were lazy, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a letter out of their name. And the Nesim here in our Pasha is written without a Yud. It's written Nesim, not Aleph Yud Mem, but Aleph Mem. Now we can ask some questions here. Firstly, so we see that what they did here was not admired. What was wrong with it? What's wrong with someone saying that if a community has to do something and it's going to cost a lot of money, so someone saying, let the community bring whatever they want to bring and I will guarantee the rest. Whatever is lacking, I will guarantee it. What's the matter with that? If something is going to cost a few million rand, he says, let the tzibur bring whatever they want to, and whatever is left, come to me, and I will underwrite the rest. That's what he said. Let the tzibur bring whatever they will, and whatever is lacking, we will bring. So what's the matter with that? So why were they criticized? A second question is, it says, lefisha nisatzlu. Since they were nisatzlu, they were slow, they were sluggish, they were lazy. Where do we see this? They wanted to guarantee everything. So you all bring whatever is necessary and I will make up the rest. Okay. Why were they called Nis'atzlu? That's the second question. And the third question is as a punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a letter out of their name and he took the letter Yud. It should be written Nosi Nun Shin Yud Aleph, and it's written Nun Shin Aleph by Nassim. Why did he take the letter Yud from their names? So we're asking three questions. They were criticized for this attitude. What's wrong with it? They said, let everybody bring for the Mishkan whatever you can afford to bring, and whatever is lacking, we will guarantee the rest. So what's wrong with saying that? We see they were criticized. And because of that, when it came to the sanctification and the erection of the Mishkan and the sanctification, there they were first. And secondly, it states, Lefishin is Atzlu, that they were Otzlu. They were slow, sluggish, lazy. Where do we see that they were lazy? And thirdly, their punishment was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a letter from their name, the letter Yud. Why did he do this? Now, in order to understand this properly, we must understand what is the quality of atzlus, the quality of laziness. This is a quality which is just contrary to the nefesh ha'odam, the life that was given to man. When man was created, we all know that the Torah tells us he was created ofer min ha'adama, from the dust of the earth, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, and what was blown into his nostrils was a breath of life. Now man was created physically, his physical chaymer, the physical matter of man came from the earth. Then he was given a breath of life, which gives him his life. And this is called the nefesh. And then he was given a seichel, an intelligence. And this is man. Now there's no doubt that the greatest power of man is his intellect and his intelligence. But nevertheless, the strongest force in man is the nishmas chaim, is the breath of life that he has in him. Because this is what motivates man. This is what moves him. The intelligence is the highest level, but the intelligence is still, to a great degree, potential force. It's not that all-encompassing, all-motivating force that perhaps it should be, but it's not. From the nishmas chaim, from the breath of life that was given to man, here all movement comes. For example, if life is taken from man, then he's silent. This that he was created from the earth has no movement in it. The fact is, many times we want to know if something is alive or not, we touch it to see if it moves. And the nefesh, this the sages tell us that its center point is the lave, is the heart, and the dam and the blood, ki adam hu anefesh. And also from the heart comes the emotions. And these are the strongest forces in man. They motivate him. They move him. It's for this reason that in many cases the nefesh and the lev, the heart, is compared to a melech, to a king. And a king is called libe shel odom. There are many psukim that refers to the king as the heart, and the Rambam brings that the king is the heart of the nation. Why? Because a king, he has to motivate the nation. Just as the heart motivates man. So this is the strongest force in man. When we speak of atzlus, of laziness, of sluggishness, we are speaking of a power which is contrary to movement. Laziness means the lack of movement, the lack of force of motivation. Where does this power come from? This power doesn't come from the nefesh, from the breath of life which is given to man, because the breath of life which is given to man is just the opposite. That has the power and the force of movement. But atzlus, laziness, comes from the earth. The earth never moves. There is no life or movement in it. If it does move, that's because there's another force which is causing it to move. That's where it comes from. So when man was created, ofer min ha'adama, from the matter of earth, and then he was given a nishmas chayim, he was given a life, the quality of atzlus, of laziness, is a quality that comes from the earth, which went into his physical matter. And this is why the body, all of the time, is mevakesh anocho. The body wants to sit still. It wants to rest. Doesn't want to move. This is from the qualities of the earth that it has in itself. On the other hand, the lev, the heart, and the nefesh always wants to go. Because something that's alive moves. So always there is a milchoma. There's a war. There's a war between the nefesh and the goof. The goof wants to sit still, like the earth that it came from. It wants to be silent. The earth is daimim, is silent. And the nefesh wants to move. And it wants to, something that moves, makes noise. Nothing that moves is silent. So there's always this war, this battle going on. If the nefesh prevails and the body becomes bottle, see, resigns itself to the power of the nefesh, then this is what is known as rizus. Rizus is when there's great enthusiasm, there's great motivation, there's great movement, there's great force. If the body prevails, the goof prevails, and the nefesh becomes bottled to the goof, that the nefesh, the life in a person, resigns himself to the body, then there's lack of movement. There's silence. The body wants to rest. And this is atzlus. This is the quality of laziness, of sluggishness. In two places, we find that the quality of zrizus, of movement and enthusiasm, must prevail in particular. In one area, it's an avodas Hashem, serving Hashem. Because when you come to serve Hashem, serving Hashem is a quality, is an area which is specifically attached to the nefesh. Because the Torah, the Gemara tells us, "Hameisim chofshim min ha-mitzvos." When a person dies, then he has nothing to do with mitzvahs. It's impossible, the Gemara says, for a dead person to have mitzvahs. He is divorced from Avedis Hashem, from serving Hashem. So we see that once the nefesh, once this life, this breath of life leaves a person, then he's divorced from Torah and he's divorced from mitzvahs. So therefore, when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to Torah, when it comes to serving Hashem, this is an area which is particularly linked to the nefesh, to the life which is in the person. So therefore, when it comes to serving Hashem, that is something which requires zrizus yisera, that requires a special amount of enthusiasm, of motivation, of movement. Because then his nefesh, the lev and the nefesh, prevail. If not, if the body prevails, then this is something which is totally divorced and alien to Avedis Hashem and to mitzvahs. That's one area. And a second area, where we need zrizus in particular, and we cannot have atzlus, that's by a melech, a king. Why? Because an individual, he has a responsibility to motivate himself. A king has a responsibility to motivate the entire nation. Like we mentioned, that the melech is libei shel odom, he's the heart of the entire nation, just a melech is libei shel ha'am, is the heart of the nation. Just like a heart of an individual motivates an individual, the king is like the heart of the nation that has to motivate an entire nation. This is what leadership is. What is leadership? To lead. What does it mean to lead? To move, to direct, to motivate. So he has to move an entire nation. If movement requires force and motivation, then certainly by a king, there cannot be any keach ha'atzlus, any laziness or sluggishness, because that's something that has to be moved, but he has to be a mover. So in these two areas, in particular, is required the power of the nefesh. Now, this is what we find. We find in the Mishnah Masechet Ovis, in Perek Hay, Mishnah Chof, Yehuda ben Tema Aymer, Yehuda the son of Tema said, have we asked Kinomer, that a person should be as courageous as a leopard, Kal Kanesher, he should be as light-footed, or light as an eagle, Verotz katzfi, he should be as quick as a deer, v'gibor kari, and he should be as strong as a lion, la'aseis retzeinu avichu shebishamayim, in order to fulfill the will of your Father in heaven. Now Yehuda ben Tema is coming to tell us how a person should go to serve Hashem, la'aseis retzeinu avichu shebishamayim, how he should go to fulfill mitzvahs and to serve Hashem. And this is what he's teaching us. When it comes to serve Hashem, it takes enormous powers. What kind of powers? Enormous powers of force and motivation. You have to be as courageous as a leopard, and you have to be as light as an eagle, and as quick as a deer, and as strong as a lion to serve Hashem. Why? Why? Why is it not so necessary? If we had to move, build buildings is one thing, but to do mitzvahs, mitzvahs are not all... Sometimes a mitzvah can be done with a shofar, or it can be done with a lulav, or it can be done with a pair of tefillin. Why do you have to be so strong for that? So So the answer for that is because mitzvahs cannot be done by the quality of the body. Mitzvahs must be done with the quality of the nefesh. We need a body also, but it's going to have to be under the leadership of the nefesh. Because the body itself, if we detach the body itself from the nefesh, then the body is totally foreign to all mitzvahs of Hashem. Because mitzvahs of Hashem have to do with the spirit. Has to do with the spiritual world. And the body comes from the earth. And the earth has no chelik in the mitzvahs. It has no portion in the mitzvahs. And that's why when you separate the nefesh from the Odom, the person becomes potter free from all mitzvahs. No longer is he commanded in mitzvahs. If the person has a nefesh, if he has this motivating life force in him, then together they can go serve Hashem. Then he can uplift the earth and he can uplift his body to go serve Hashem. But detached one from the other, then the body is totally alien to serving Hashem. And he has no chelik in mitzvahs. There is no common denominator whatsoever between the body itself and mitzvahs. Because the body is contrary to the spiritual level. So therefore, when a person comes to mitzvahs, actually the qualities of the chemer, of the physical matter in him, are contrary to mitzvahs. So you have a situation where the nefesh wants to go fulfill mitzvahs, and the body does not want to go to fulfill mitzvahs. It's me'akev, it's an obstacle. This is why when it comes to serve Hashem, we need great strength and great force, because the body does not want to. So the nefesh has to move the body, it has to motivate the body in order to go fulfill mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs and avodas Hashem is to serve Hashem in a spiritual level. The spiritual level is chayim, is all of life. Well, the body itself, which is matter, is daimim, is completely silent and dead, just like a piece of earth. So there's this constant battle in a person. And that's why to go fulfill the easiest mitzvah, you have to be as strong as a lion. Now, Yehuda ben Tema, he said four things. See? Now, why did he say all four? So the Maral explains that firstly, the person has to have a power to inspire himself and to awaken himself. Because the body is totally asleep, it's a daimim. So he has to inspire himself. We find many people that cannot motivate, they are not motivated. They say, I'm not motivated. They are not motivated because they're constantly waiting for someone else to motivate them. They want someone else to inspire them. That's not enough. A person has to be able to motivate himself. He has to be able to awaken himself. So that's the power of the Azus Azkinomer. The leopard is known for a tremendous courage. He never goes back. He always goes forward. They say never get in a fight with a leopard, because he will never turn back. The person has to have this power to awaken himself. Now once he awakens himself and he wants to do something, till then he doesn't want to do anything. The body is so overpowering, and not that he cannot do anything, he doesn't want to do anything. He's not interested. Once he has inspired himself with this force, now he has to pick himself up. It's like a person in the morning, he wakes himself up. Some people they don't wake themselves up, but he wakes himself up, but meanwhile he's still in bed. So he has to pick himself up now. So for that now, he said, Yehuda ben Tema, Kal Kinesha. We can take the force of the eagle. The eagle has such a force and motivation where he picks himself up from the ground to the highest heights. What is the quality of the eagle? He flies higher than anyone else. So he picks himself off the ground to the highest heights. So this force we need to lift ourselves up. All right, now we've inspired ourselves and we've lifted ourselves up. Now we have to go to where we should go, or where we want to go, to fulfill a specific task, to fulfill a mitzvah. So we have to move from one place to the other. Now again, the body doesn't want to awaken, because the body is a daimon, he's very happy to be asleep. And once he's awakened, he doesn't want to lift himself off the ground. And even when you get him to stand up, he doesn't want to move. So on that, Yehuda ben Tema said, "Berotz katzvi." That quality we must take from the deer. There is no animal that can move like the deer. Mimokim lamokim, from one place to the other, the deer is the quickest and is the lightest. When you watch a deer run, it's as if it's effortless. Right? As if the body doesn't exist. He just moves as a flash without any effort from one place to the other. That's the quality we need now to move from one place to the other. And now we've gotten to the place where we want to go. So you've managed to get the body there. See, the body is a galim. So you've managed to schlep the body there. Now you have to do something there. And the body doesn't want to do. So therefore he said, "V'gibor kari." Then you must be as strong as a lion. When the lion comes to his prey and attacks, there's the great gevura, there's the tremendous strength where he'll fight through anything. So we're speaking about four levels, but each level shows you the tremendous obstacle that the body will places in front of the person. But firstly, he wants to sleep. He doesn't even want to be aware of anything. He doesn't, not that he's not inspired, he doesn't want to be inspired. He wants to sleep, just like the earth where he came from. So in that he said, "Havi az kinomer," that the leopard is totally awake, totally alert. He alerts himself with his force. Now that he's awakened, now he doesn't want to stand up. He wants to continue to lie down. So on that, Yehuda ben Tema says, use the quality of the eagle that can lift his physical body higher than any other creature. Now he stood up. Now you have to move him to the place where you want to go. So from there we can use the quality of the deer. Havirotz kitzvi, that can move from one place to the other as quick as a flash. Like there's no body. And once you're there, and now you have to perform the act, you must have the gvura of the ari. Because even there the body will stop. The body will be an obstacle to perform it with such strength. So this is what Yehuda ben Tema is telling us, how one must serve Hashem. This means that he has to serve him with the force of the nefesh, the force of the nishmas chaim, of the breath of life that's in him, not with the force of the body. The breath of life must motivate the body, so he serves him in totality. But if he's going to serve him with the powers of the body alone, he won't get very far. Because Avedis Hashem is a level of Ruach Chaim. It's a level of life, not a level above the earth, not a level of silence and total death, lack of life, like we see in the earth. This is how one must come to Avedis Hashem. And this is why it states that Tzadikim kol ma'aseim bezrizus. The righteous, all of their acts were with Zrizus. Now Zrizus doesn't only mean to do something quickly. Zrizus means to do something with force, with motivation, with enthusiasm. Like we see from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu used to serve Hashem with enormous Zrizus. For example, when he saw wayfarers coming and he wanted to perform the mitzvah of Achdoses Orchim, of taking in wayfarers, he ran to them. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go and sacrifice his son Yitzchok, even though it was a very, very unpleasant task, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, that at the first rays of the sun, Avraham was up. When it came to saddling his donkey, even though he had many servants, he did it himself. Ava mekalkeles es hashura, because he had so much enthusiasm for the mitzvah, he couldn't wait for his servants to do it. He went and did it himself. Now what is this? These are not the acts of the body. These are the acts of the nefesh, where the nefesh has totally motivated and ruled the body. This is Avedis Hashem. Therefore it states, Tzadikim kol ma'aseim b'zrishus. The righteous, their acts are with zrishus. And this is how we must perform a mitzvah. Then it's b'shleimus, then it's in totality. If we perform a mitzvah with a sluggishness, with a lethargy, with lack of lackluster, with a slowness, then it's alien to mitzvahs. Because those are all qualities. These are qualities which depress the nefesh. These are qualities which are coming from the physical matter of man. And these are qualities that are coming from the earth, and the earth has no link with mitzvahs. So then the mitzvah becomes depressed. This is one area. A second area where there must be zrizus, before we go to that area, this is what is meant in the Gemara Masechta Brachos. The Gemara brings in Brachos and Avov. Brachos. The Gemara brings in Brachos and Avov on the base. When a person goes out from shul, so he should not be peseh psia gaso. Psia gaso means big steps. That means he should not hurry. When a person walks the way he should walk, then he takes very even, normal, upright steps. When a person hurries, so then he takes big steps. He jumps. That's what is known as a psia gaso. So Rav Huna says that when you leave a shul, you should not take a psia gaso. You should not take big steps. You should not hurry. Why? Because it looks like you're running away from shul. A person runs from an unpleasant place. And here you're going from the Beis Hashem, and it looks like you're running away from shul because it says, like a child runs away from school. Therefore, you should not take psia gaso. Now, in general, the Gemara brings in Perek Abi Psochim that a psia gaso is not healthy for a person. That to rush is, we live in a society that always rushes. We don't necessarily rush with psia gaso, we rush on the roads. You get on the roads and you see people are even willing to risk their lives all of the time in order to rush. The Gemara brings that's very unhealthy for a person. It says a psia gaso, when a person rushes and takes big steps, it takes away a certain percentage of the light from his eyes. That's what the Gemara says. And it's not healthy for a person. A person has to learn not to rush. He can work fast, but not to rush. Especially when he comes out of shul, then certainly he shouldn't rush, because it looks like he's running away from something unpleasant. Now the Gemara brings, Omer Abaye le'amron ele le'mefak. Abaye says, but this is only when you come out of shul. Aval le'meyal, but if you're going to shul, mitzvah le'maharit, then it's a mitzvah to rush. Shedema, as it says in the Prosuk, nirdefol lo da'ases Hashem. We will run to know Hashem. Omer Abzeira, Reb Zeira says, "Mereish ki ave chazinun l'rabon in the koroiti lepirka b'shabato." He says, "I used to see many of the rabbonim where they would be rushing to the pirka on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it was their custom that there would be a public shir. Talmidei Chachomim would give public shurim on Shabbos, and all kinds of people would come. So he says, I used to see many rabbonim; they would be running to the shir." They would be rushing, taking a psia gasa in order to get to the shir on Shabbos. So he says, I used to say, Amino, k'mechal din rabon in Shabbat. I used to say that these people are being mechal Shabbos. They're disgracing Shabbos. Because even during the week, it's not healthy to rush. On Shabbos, certainly you should not rush. Because Shabbos is the time of Hanocha, of Menucha, of Shvisa Saguv. Shabbos is the time of physical rest. So certainly you're not allowed to rush on Shabbos. So I used to say, when I used to see these people who were the Rabbonim that were running to the Shir on Shabbos, I used to say that the Mechal in Shabbos are desecrating Shabbos. Even the Shamin and Lord Adar Rabtanchim Amar Rabshub and Levi, but once I heard what Rabtanchim said in the name of Rabshub and Levi, Leilam Yorutz Odom Lidvar Halocha, Vafilu B'Shabbos, that a person should always rush to a mitzvah or to Divrei Torah, even on Shabbos, because it states, Acharei Hashem Yilchu Ke'Arye Yishog, when a person goes to fulfill the word of Hashem, he should go like a lion. And how does a lion go to fulfill the word of Hashem? The lion goes forcefully. So from then on, I also would run. I would also hurry to the shir on Shabbos. Before then, he would make sure he would walk very slowly. See? But then I also would run and hurry to the shir on Shabbos. And then, Omer Abzeira, Agra, the Pirka, Rohoto. That the reward Rashi brings, that many people that would come on Shabbos to hear the shir, they weren't all Talmidei Chachamim. Because during the week they didn't have time to learn. So many Balabatim also would come to hear the shir on Shabbos. And not all of them could understand the shir entirely. So Rashi says, so what was their reward in coming? If they couldn't understand the shir, what was the reward? The reward was the enthusiasm that they would have in coming to the shir. This enthusiasm. And that they would overcome all kind of difficulties. And they would rush to come to the shir. Actually, this is not only speaking on Shabbos, but any time. This was their reward. So what do we see from here? So the Mnal explains. When it comes to every day, rushing is not good, because that's not the way a person was made. You see, a person rushes, he gets all out of order, he has to run, he has to take big steps. Many times he becomes all confused and he forgets what he's doing and so forth. That's not the way a person was made. A person was made to walk the way he's supposed to walk and to move the way he's supposed to move and the way he should be in total control and so forth. And especially on Shabbos. Shabbos is a mitzvah. It's an aveira. You're not supposed to run on Shabbos or rush. Shabbos was a time of rest, a physical rest. But that's in Mili de Alma. That's when it comes to worldly things. But when it comes to spiritual matters, to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's the opposite. See? There, when you serve Hashem, that you have to do with force. That you have to do with motivation, and that you have to do with great speed and determination. Why? Because when it comes to do things in this world, so this world already is not that high as spiritual endeavors, and therefore, all right, the body also can have something to do with it. But when it comes to study Torah or fulfill mitzvahs, which is already from another world, and it's a world far beyond the world that the physical body comes from, there the only way a person can come to that level is through his nefesh, through the Nishmas Chaim, the breath of life that was given to him. So there he has to climb. When you come, that's why if a person walks to do a mitzvah, he approaches a mitzvah the same way he would approach doing anything mili di alma, something that's chol, something from this world, then the approach is entirely wrong. When he approaches to do something from this world, he's talking about this level. But when he approaches to do a mitzvah, when he approaches to study Torah, he is trying to reach out to a higher world to do something. The body doesn't want to reach out to that higher world, because the body comes from a lower world. So therefore he needs an enormous force to overcome that resistance of the body. and to uplift the body to fulfill the mitzvah to study Torah. Therefore, when it comes to doing something from this world, a person shouldn't rush. He shouldn't take a psia gasa. He should take it easy. But when it comes to fulfilling a mitzvah of the other world, even on Shabbos, he's going to have to. Because if he doesn't, then he will not fulfill it. The body won't allow him to. And even if he does it, it'll be a physical fulfillment. In other words, just merely going through the physical motions. But it won't be the kiyum ha-mitzvah. It won't be the shleimus ha-mitzvah where the entire person is in the mitzvah. So there he's going to have to use tremendous force and motivation, because the body that comes from a different world doesn't want to reach up to that world. So he's standing against him. And there he needs all of the keches that Yehuda ben Tema said, where he should be as kenomar, and he should be kal kenesher, as light as an eagle, and rotz ketzvi, as quick as a deer, and gibor kahari, as strong as a lion. So this is one area where a person must use enormous zrizus, enthusiasm, and where there cannot be any room whatsoever for atzlus, for laziness or sluggishness. Now we mentioned there are two areas. The second area is by a melech, a king. A king not only has the responsibility to inspire himself, but he must inspire an entire nation. Not only the responsibility to move himself, but to move an entire nation. And not only the responsibility to lead himself, but to lead an entire nation. Now, leadership, what does leadership mean? And you don't find in the world too many true leaders. Leadership means to go out in front. To go out in front and to lead. Many times you have people who are out in front, but just being in front doesn't mean they're leaders. Actually, the Gemara tells us that a dog, a kelev, also is out in front. Whenever you walk with a dog, you'll see that the dog always walks in front of you. He'll never follow you. He'll always walk in front of you. But then he keeps looking back to see if you're following him. And if you've turned in a different direction, then he'll come and he'll turn and get in front of you. So the dog is in front, but actually he's following. So from here the Gemara teaches us that leading doesn't necessarily mean to be in front. Because you can be in front and you can follow also, like a dog. Unfortunately, we have too many leaders who are in front, but they constantly turn around to find out just how the people want them to lead. And if the people, they see that the popularity is to the right, then they're to the right. They become right-wingers. When they see the popularity is to the left, then they become left-wingers. There are many people who become liberals when it's popular to be a liberal. And when it's no longer the popular to be a liberal, they become a radical. They move to the right or to the left. In other words, they'll dance to any tune that the people will play for them. That's not leadership. That's the total destruction and distortion of leadership. Leadership is where the person goes in the direction that he is convinced is the right direction, regardless of the way the followers are going. And then to inspire the followers to follow him. This is true leadership. And this is very rare. And this is the obligation of the king. And that's why it states that HaMelech Barosh, the king must be first, but first in reality. And it states HaMelech Poretz Geder, that when a king walks, he does not follow the old roads, but he makes new roads. To follow old roads, that's merely a follower. Anybody can drive down an old road. But to make new roads, that's a leader. See? who can determine which way to go, and he goes and the people follow. Not that he goes in the direction that he sees the people want him to go. The greatest leadership by Klal Yisrael was Yehuda. States that Yehuda was the leader. Lo Yosher Shevet Yehuda, the staff of leadership will never leave the hands of Yehuda. And from Yehuda came kings of Israel. And came Nachshon ben Amidodov, who was the Nosi here. Came Dever HaMelech, and Shleim HaMelech, and the Melech HaMashiach will come. And Yehuda's campsite was in the east, Mizrocha Kedmo. And why in the east? Because the east is the front of the world. The front of the world is the east. That's where the sun first starts rising. And the king's place is in the front of the world, where he goes first, and the nation follows him, not that he follows the nation. The fact is that the whole reason the Tanakh gives us, that Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, lost the kingship to David, because he said, Ki yoresi min am, because I was afraid of the nation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a directive to destroy Amalek and everything that they had, and he had compassion and he wanted to spare much of the spoils of Amalek and of the people. And Shmuel HaNovi, Samuel the prophet, asked him, why did you do this? He says, Ki yoresi min ha'am. I was afraid of the nation. I was influenced by them. So who was leading? The nation was leading, not Shaul. Then that's not a leader. For that, we don't need a leader for the nation to lead. We need a leader that will lead the nation. And what was the quality of Yehuda? The quality of Yehuda was Ke'ari. He was the lion. Because even to lead oneself, he has to be a lion. Gibor Ke'ari. How much more so to lead a nation, to be the Ruach Haim, to be the life and the heart of a whole nation. You certainly have to be a lion. The Gur Ayi Yehuda. Yehuda was as strong as a lion. So this is the quality of Malchus. And this is why a king in particular has to have the quality of Zrizus, of motivation. And there can be no area of atzlus, of laziness, which comes from the physical matter by the king. Nachshon ben Amidodov, who was the descendant of Yehuda, during the time of the Mishkan, what did he do to become the king? He was the one that went into the sea, Tchilo. When they came to the Red Sea and they looked back and Egypt and Pare were coming down on them, and to the sides they were locked in by the desert, and in front was a raging sea and they didn't know what to do. Nachshon jumped in first. He went first and he said, Hashem Yimloch Le'alam Ver, Kodesh Baruch Hu will reign forever and ever. And once he went in, the others followed. This was his quality. This was the quality of Yehuda and his descendants. Well, they would always go first. No matter what the circumstances might be. If it was right, they went. And the others followed. Now, this is the greatest power of Zrizus and the most remote from sluggishness, from laziness. Because something that moves first is only moving because of its own motivation. Something that's moving second is moving because the first one moved. Something that's moving third and fourth is moving because the others moved. But something that moves first, there is no other motivation that's pulling it. They say under Bishrael Salantis, that when he first saw the first steam engine, he saw a steam engine pulling four or five other railroad cars. The first time he saw it, they asked him, well, what do you think? He says, Melenta Graisa Limud, we can learn something from this. as ein heiser can schlep a sach kalter, that something that is hot, right, and has life in it, can pull so many cold engines, cold cars that are dead. This is what we learn from the steam engine. Well, this was this principle. That the other cars, the third car, the fourth car, the fifth car, they move because there's already a force pulling them. But why does the first one move? The first one moves only because of his own force. So this you need, this zrizus you need in particular by Malchus, by leadership. Now, it states that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the worlds, and he created a physical world and a spiritual world and merged them together, it says that he created the two worlds with a yud and a hey. With the hey, he created the physical world, and with the yud, he created the spiritual world. See, the hey is already dimensions. There's a vertical line and there's a horizontal line. And this, you're speaking of dimensions, and dimensions is something which is physical, because everything that's physical has a dimension. So with the hey, the letter hey created the physical world. The yud has no dimension whatsoever. The yud is just like a dot. And with this he created the spiritual world, because spiritual is not physical, therefore it has no dimension whatsoever. The power of atzlus, of sluggishness, that is from the earth that man was made from. So that will be from the physical world, and that relates to the hay. And the nishmas chayim, the breath of life that he put into man, that gives him his life, and life is movement, and life is force, so that comes from a spiritual world. So that relates to the yud. So now we come back to our parsha. That Rashi brings from the Medrash, that here, when Moshe asked for all of the gifts of the Mishkan, so the Nesim brought last. They brought a few things that were left to bring at the end. Later on, when it came to the Hakomes HaMishkan and Nisan, here this was speaking in the first year after going out of Egypt. They started this right after Yom Kippur. They came out in Pesach, and after Yom Kippur is when they started this work, and it was finished in Kislev, but it was not put up until the next Nisan. So the next Nisan, there they went first. Why? Because Kach Omeru Nesim, this is what the Nesim said here, Yisnadvu Sibor Mashim Yisnadvim, they said, let the whole Sibor bring whatever they can bring. U'mashim Echasin Onam Ashlimin, I say. And whatever is left over and still lacking, we will do. Given Shishlimu Tzibor Sakol, Shenema V'melocha Yisadayim, but once the whole Sibor brought what they were going to bring, they brought everything, there was almost nothing left over. So there was nothing left for the Nesim to bring. Omeru Nesim Malein Olasos. So they could only bring the precious stones. But next time they made sure that this wouldn't happen. Therefore, when it came to putting up the sanctuary and the altar, the sanctification of it, they came first. And because they were lazy and sluggish, they were slow, so Nechzera Eis Mishmom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a letter out of their names here, Vanesim Kshiv, and it's written without a yud. In Parshas Nosai, where they brought first, there it's written with a yud. He gave them the yud back. Now we ask, first of all, what's wrong with saying that everybody should bring whatever they want to bring, and we will bring what was ever left over? And secondly, why does it say Lefish Nisatzlu? Because they were slow, they were sluggish, they were lazy. Where do we see that? And why did he take the yud from their names? The answer is that when it comes, firstly, to do a mitzvah, you can't have the attitude, let everybody do what they want to do, and then I'll do what's left. See? That's an attitude already of sitting, of staying in one place. That's what the body wants to do. See, the body wants anocha. The body doesn't want to move. It's like the earth. Moving is a tremendous effort for the person because the body doesn't want to move. So to say, you go ahead and do first, and I will come and do later, that's not an approach for a mitzvah. That's an approach for other things, but not for a mitzvah, not for Avedis Hashem. When you come to serve Hashem, you have to come with all of the enthusiasm and the force and the zrizus and the inspiration and motivation that Avraham came to serve Hashem with. That of the lion and of the eagle and the leopard and the deer. Otherwise, it is the body that's trying to serve Hashem, and that's very far from mitzvahs. That's firstly. But secondly, what are they talking about being a rear guard? They were the kings. Actually, this was Nachshon was one of them. These were the Nesim. Each one was the king of the Shevet of Yisrael, Roshei Beis Avosam. These were the kings. They're saying, go ahead, people, you do and we'll follow. They have to say, we will do and you will follow us. They have to be the engines that inspire the others to come to follow. And it was just the opposite. So what do we see from there? Not that it was a telos and hejman. It was not a miscalculation, in an intellectual miscalculation. It was a prevailing of the body over the soul. It was where the body won out over the soul, because the body always says it. The body says, look, let everybody else do, and then what's ever needed, I'll do. To say, I'll go first, that's not being moved, that's moving. And to move is totally contrary to the nature of the body. The nature of the body is not to move. You're going against nature, and it takes enormous effort. And that enormous effort is difficult. And that's where it came from. You go first and we will pick up the ends later. In other words, we were standing still and you were moving. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed a finger at them. And he says, Lefisha Nisatzlu, this is how you come to serve Hashem. This is how you lift yourself up into other worlds. And this is how you come to lead the nation. This is Atzlus, this is the Keach HaGuf. This is not the Keach HaNefesh VaNeshama. Well, Lefisha Nisatzlu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then you're not ready to be leaders with the letter Yud. And he took the letter Yud out of the names, because Yud is what he created the higher worlds with. He says, your approach and your conduct is a conduct of this world, of the Hay. And he took the Yud, because man was made of this world and of the next world. And that power that gives him the force to rule over this world is the force of the Yud. So he took the Yud out of the names. And then they realized this. Next time, when it came to the sanctification of the Mizbeach, of the altar, and the erection of the Mishkan, they were first. And there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Yud back. They were first, and they set the example for others where the others followed. So this is the explanation in the Nesim, the Fishan is Atzlu. And from here, this tells us the qualities that Atzlus, sluggishness, that's the keach, that's the power of the goof, of the body, of the physical matter of man. Movement, zrizus, that's the power of the breath of life and soul that was given to man. And there's a constant battle all of the time. And when it comes to serving Hashem, or leadership, then it must be in totality with zrizus, sadikim, the righteous, kol ma'aseim b'zrizus, all of their acts are with tremendous force and tremendous enthusiasm and speed.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.